I chose to write about a choir director who's Lutheran and who's a big city girl but has moved to a small town.
Katie Schuerman talking about her new novel, The Choir Immortal.
I really wanted to address suffering in the present tense, this theology of the cross.
You can find out more about The Choir Immortal at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Choir Immortal by Katie Schuerman. Well, that's the final stanza of Stars of the Morning So Gloriously Bright. It's about angels. Still let them aid us and still let them fight. Lord of the angelic host battling for right. Till where their anthems they ceaselessly pour, we with the angels may bow and adore. It's a very biblical picture of the angels in heaven. And of course, we're given to believe in the Bible that the angels are busy even now among us, unseen. What do angels do? Why does the church on this day, Tuesday, September the 29th, remember St. Michael, that is the head of angels, and all angels? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. The last half hour, we're talking about St. Michael and all angels with Dr. Lewis Brighton. You can call us if you have a question or a comment about St. Michael and all angels, or angels in general, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. You can email us, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. Dr. Lewis Brighton is a regular guest, Professor Emeritus of New Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and author of the Concordia Commentary on Revelation. Dr. Brighton, welcome back.
Oh, thank you. Nice to be with you. Thank you.
Well, turning to as he's called, St. Michael, or Michael the Archangel, where do we first meet him in the pages of Holy Scripture?
Well, he's only mentioned three times. The first time in Daniel chapter 10, verses 13 and 21. And then also, secondly, Jude, verse 9, where he is called an archangel, the only place called an archangel. And then the third time that he appears in the Bible is Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. And chapter 12 there, at the ascension of our Lord, God commands Michael and angels with him to cast the devil out of heaven, and his angels never again could he appear before God in heaven.
So, who is Michael the archangel according to Scripture?
Who is he?
Yes.
Oh, he's an angel. He's a created angel like Gabriel and others, but. But it appears that he was, we know from Scripture that Satan, the devil, he was called Lucifer, which had a good old connotation, then a beautiful word, but not has a bad connotation. We believe from Scripture that Lucifer was the prince of all the angels. And, of course, that he rebelled against God and took many angels with him. And then it appears just three times that God had the angel Michael to sort of take the place of Satan being a prince of angels. Now, that we only can kind of guess this because Michael, and Daniel, he helps Daniel understand the dream so well. He's a protecting him and so on and speaks God's word to him. And then in Jude 9, where he's spoken that he was sent by God when God buried Moses, you remember? And in Jude 9, it says that the devil tried to get a hold of the body of Moses, but God sent Michael, the archangel, called there to thrust Satan away, to protect, so that the devil couldn't get a hold of Moses, so forth.
So when we meet all this angelic host, because, of course, on this day, the church is also remembering not only St. Michael, but also all angels as well. What is this? They're called the armies of God. They are ministering spirits, we're told. What does the Bible tell us angels are and what they do in God's service?
Yes. Well, the Hebrew word host, the host of God, you can, some people translate it as armies, but there are millions of angels. In Revelation, thousands and 10,000 times 10,000, there must have been millions of angels, and these are spirits that God created. And they are called an angel only when God sends one of these spirits to come to help us here on earth, like Moses. And also we have a guardian angel, so to speak. But these spirits are always before God, and they worship him. And chapter 4 in Revelation, you got four special winged creatures, angels, that are attending God all the time. And then you see thousands of angels on God's throne, chapter 4 and 5 and so forth. But these angels are spirits of God, and God sent them to take care of things. He sends them, so the rabbis suggested that there's an angel. Well, like you say, Revelation does the same too. The angels are in charge under God's control, under God's authority, floods and tornadoes and things like that. So also they are sent to us. The Bible tells how Jesus spoke of them, the guardian angels. Each one of us has an angel that attends us at all times to defend us, all under God's authority, of course. And, of course, you know, the angels attended our Lord, too, you remember. And God sent the angels at the birth of our Lord to tell the shepherds, or so forth, they announced. So they are God's, you call them God's servants, if you will, although that word is not used, but they are God's attendants. They always do what he tells them to do. They're always worshiping him all the time, day and night. And when we go to heaven, we will, like in Revelation chapter 6 and chapter 7, we will be with all the angels, saints, and worshiping God the Father, Christ, and so forth.
Some Christians mistakenly believe that when a Christian dies, they become an angel in heaven. How would you respond to that, Dr. Brighton?
No, we don't. We don't become angels, no, because angels do not have any earthly material bodies. Now, when we go through death, our souls are taken to heaven. Our bodies are put into the ground, of course, going back to dust, whatever. But on the judgment day, when Christ comes, he'll bring all the gods, all of us from heaven, our souls. He'll raise up our bodies. Our souls will enter our bodies, and we'll be real living creatures, body, soul, and body, forever. Angels do not have any material earthly bodies. They're only a spirit. But they can take on an appearance so that the angels are with us. I have an angel with me all the time. You have an angel with us. But they never take on an appearance unless God tells them to do so and commands them to and gives them take on an appearance to encourage us. But they don't usually do that. But however, the angel Gabriel took on an appearance, remember, and he came to Mary and then to Joseph and Matthew and Mary and Luke. And so the angels oftentimes can take on an appearance, but it's not a bodily appearance. It's just for the time an appearance to encourage the people to whom they have been sent, that they can know that God has sent this angel to protect them or care for them or whatever.
Jesus tells us that when he does return in glory to judge the living and the dead, to raise the dead, he will be attended by all his angels, and he even gives us to believe in some of his parables that the angels will be the agents by which he gathers all
the whole human race
together from the four ends of the earth. Talk about that.
That's spoken of in Revelation too, in chapter 19 and 20. That's also spoken how the angels will attend Christ, and at Christ's command, they will gather all the people. After the Lord has raised up all the bodies, the believers, non-believers, but the angels gather them all together before to be judged by the Lord Christ then.
Do the angels, have they, in some sense, you mentioned before the fall of some angels along with Satan, have the angels already passed through some kind of a judgment? Are the good ones that attend to God's commands now,
Oh, yes.
Are they really truly good, or could they fall as well and join the minions of Satan?
In Revelation chapter 12, for example, but elsewhere too, all the angels that went with the devil, God will judge them, and they will be sent to hell forever. And then you get that in Revelation chapter 12, yes. But all the good angels, the angels that stayed faithful to God, now the devil, Satan, Lucifer called back then, he took many, many angels with him, not the majority, but many, many with him. Maybe we could guess on a third or two-fifths. He took many angels with him, but they will all be judged. In fact, they have already been judged. At Christ's ascension, Revelation chapter 12, when Christ ascended into heaven after death and resurrection and so forth, God commanded Michael to cast out the devil and all of his angels. And the devil didn't want to go. But Michael threw them out, and all the angels, they're confined to this earth now, and then at the end, they'll be confined furthermore into everlasting hell.
Dr. Lewis Brighton is our guest. We're talking about St. Michael and all angels on this day, Tuesday, September the 29th. The Church remembers St. Michael and all angels and celebrates on this day. Dr. Lewis Brighton is Professor Emeritus of New Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. He's author of the Concordia Commentary on Revelation. You could find out more about the Concordia Commentary on Revelation under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Concordia Commentary on Revelation by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's Tuesday afternoon, September the 29th. We're here to respond to your questions or comments about angels. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter questions or comments to us at @issuesetc, @issuesetc. We're given to believe from Holy Scripture that the angels attend us, that they are guarding us and protecting us according to the will of God. We'll talk more about those guardian angels with Dr. Lewis Brighton. Stay tuned.
This is not like your normal study Bible.
Issues, etc. Regular guest, Pastor Will Wheaton on the New Lutheran Study Bible.
The wisdom of the church in meditating on the Word of God across the ages is supplied throughout the notes. Any wise, good thing that's been said on the basis of some text of the Bible, they've stuck it in there. It's got prayers. The Bible is replete with these little devotional meditations. It gives you help in witnessing. How can you use this particular doctrine from God's Word at this point to bring others to Christ, to help them come to know what He's done for them? The Bible is absolutely amazing. It's got great pictures. It's got, well, you can tell I'm excited about it. And I was one who was said to be jaundiced and not appreciative of it.
Enrich your devotional life through word and prayer with the New Lutheran Study Bible. Check it out at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can buy the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Study Bible.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
The angel Gabriel from heaven came, his wings as drifted snow, his eyes as flame. Oh, hail Satan.
On this Tuesday, September the 29th, the church is remembering St. Michael and all angels. We're doing that here for the next 10 minutes of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Lewis Brighton is our guest. If you got questions or comments about St. Michael or the angels, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Dr. Brighton, when the angels appear in Old and New Testament to mortal men, I think the almost uniform reaction by those who first see them is terror. Why is that?
Well, not always. It depends. If you don't expect something like that, suddenly someone appears to you, then it can take it aback, you know. But for instance, in Revelation, the angels, Christ sent the angels to John. In fact, Christ used the angels to tell John things in Revelation, and twice when John wanted to bow down and worship the angel, they don't do that. I'm a fellow slave like you are of God. Worship only God. So suddenly if an angel suddenly appear, it could take us aback, you know. But then the fear would disappear when we realize that this angel has been sent by God to comfort us or to encourage us or whatever.
It seems as though these angels have a, as you mentioned before, a primary duty, at least with respect to us, in protecting us from harm and danger, a way by which God does this. What do we know of what is usually called our guardian angels?
Well, they're with us all the time, and they protect us all the time. And I've been very conscious in my life how angels protected me. I didn't see them, but I was very conscious. Let me give you one example. Years ago, one of my classmates, and I went home with him over a break from school, from prep school, before I came to seminary, and at the dinner table, his father told us this story. He would go to church whenever he felt like it, and his relationship with Christ was, well, it wasn't all that great at all. But he was an architect, and he had helped build a skyscraper. And he was checking the skyscraper about 6 or 8, 10 stories up, and he had a belt to hold him as he's on the outside of it checking something. And all of a sudden, the belt broke, and he started to fall. He knew, that's it. He's going to kill himself. But suddenly, a hand, a strong hand, caught him, held him, till he could catch a hold of something and not fall any further. And he looked up, and he saw an angel. Now, usually angels do not take on such an appearance like that. But in this case, this father of my classmate, he said to us at the dinner table, from then on, I became a converted, real, born-again Christian. Because God let me fall, taking my life, but then he had one of those angels to rescue me. And I will never again turn away from Christ. So angels can do things like that too, you know, under God's command. Now, also, angels can test out whether we really are doing things for Christ. The author of the Hebrews says that angels sometimes can take on an appearance of a very poor man, a poor lady, very wretched, needs help, just to see if we would help that person. And that's why the author says, always be loving and helpful to people in need, because you may, without knowing it, be entertaining or helping an angel who's taken on the appearance to see if you really will help people.
Cindy is listening in St. Louis. Cindy, thank you for waiting on the line. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. This is sort of a simplistic type of question. I hope it's not out of line. If it is, please correct me. But is it all right to ask the Lord, if you find yourself in some kind of peril, to send angels to protect you? Can you pray a prayer like that?
That's a great question, Cindy. Thank you very much. Dr. Brighton.
Yes, 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 certainly. I pray every day, oh Lord, thank you for protecting me with your angels this past night. Protect me now as I go on. Oh, yes. God loves us to pray to him. We don't pray to angels, though. We only pray to Jesus or to the Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, because you love me in Jesus, protect me this day from the danger that's all around. And every day, my wife and I, we pray, oh, Lord, protect us today from all the angel, all the devil, sin and evil. Protect us with your holy angels. Oh, yes, God loves for us to ask him to do that. And he always answers our prayers. He always will protect us with his holy angels, invisibly so. Very rarely will an angel take on an appearance, but like at this story I just told of this father of one of my classmates. But we know his angels are with us all the time protecting us, and we can pray, oh, Lord, oh, yes, please, help me today. Protect me with your wonderful angels. We don't pray to angels, though, only to the Heavenly Father and Jesus.
Dennis in Michigan wants your opinion of the confrontation, you mentioned it before, Dr. Brighton, between the archangel Michael and Lucifer in the book of Jude, disputing over the body of Moses, as you mentioned. So often, when St. Michael is pictured, writes Dennis in Michigan, he appears as a warrior, like in the Braveheart movie. Yet the Epistle of Jude is quite clear that St. Michael used the word of God to rebuke Satan. Your thoughts there?
Yes, yes. Now, the Bible never has any angel or Michael appearing as a warrior, you know. But you can imagine that if you want to. An angel could take on any appearance, all about encourage someone to know that God is protecting him and will take care of him and help and send the angels to protect him, yes.
So the point there in that epistle of Jude, that even Michael, when contending for the body of Moses, did not confront Satan directly but said, "The Lord rebuke you." What does Jude want us to understand there?
Oh, yes, very definitely, yes. Because the angels want us to know, God wants to know, that it's God who's protecting us. And the angels are just his instruments, spiritual instruments, by which he does protect us. And if we begin to think, the angels are going to do this now, well, God wants it. It's God doing it through the angels. So we have to keep a very kind of attitude where we thank God for the angels, yet we don't speak to them directly, only to God.
One of the books of the New Testament that deals extensively with angels by way of really revealing who Jesus Christ is the book of Hebrews. And it seems it pains in the first several chapters of that epistle to distinguish between Jesus, the Son of God, incarnate in human flesh, and God's servants, the angels. Why is that distinction so very important, Dr. Brighton?
Well, in the Old Testament, God would oftentimes use a created angel to bring a message to someone, like to Moses or anyone else. But on occasion, when God wanted to make it very personally, the Son of God himself, the mighty Son of God, who became Jesus in Bethlehem, the mighty Son of God would take on the form of an angel and thus appear, like to Samson's parents and so forth. And when the Son of God would take on the appearance of an angel to speak to one of God's people, he would always, "I will do this for you. I will bless you." But when a created angel was sent by God to give a message or to help someone, "God will do this. God has sent me." So there's a big distinction. So the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament was always the mighty Son of God who took on the form of an angel to speak directly to someone on behalf of the Heavenly Father or to do something for them. But when God would send an angel to just do ordinary things, as it were, they would never speak in the first person, because it's quite distinguishable between when the Son of God became an angel on appearance to help someone or a created angel. It's quite a difference.
Dr. Lewis Brighton is Professor Emeritus of New Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. He's author of the Concordia Commentary on Revelation. Dr. Brighton, thank you for your time this afternoon.
Could I give you one more little story?
Yeah, very briefly.
Okay. I was working as a when I was a Sunday student, I was working, I was coming home one evening, and I was trying to cross the street at Clayton, and this old aged lady, will you help me? So I had to almost carry her across the street. I had to stop the traffic. Boy, there was a lot of traffic. Stopping, and I got to the other side, you know, and I put her down, and oh man, I looked, she wasn't there. She disappeared. What? I told Maribor at home, "I'm just guessing, but this might have been an angel who took on the appearance of a crippled lady to see how I would treat her."
Dr. Brighton, thank you for being our guest.
Oh, thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
It does happen. That's what God's Word says. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service about two issues, the ordination of openly gay pastors in the Evangelical Lutheran Church, in America. We'll also talk about what he thinks is the overuse of the term devout Christian. Private Financial for Lutherans has been kind enough to promise 50 cents on the dollar for any gift that you give to Lutheran Public Radio, up to $300. That means that if you give us a gift of $300, we'll get an additional check from Thrivent Financial for Lutherans for $150. You make a $300 gift into a $450 gift. That's pretty good, if you ask me. You can fill out the Giving Plus gift form at the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Mail it along with your check, made out to Lutheran Public Radio, to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's the address again. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, the Giving Plus gift form is at our website, issuesetc.org. Click donate. Where would the angels direct our attention as we even remember them on this day? Where would they direct our attention? To the one whom they worship, Jesus, our Savior, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Divine Trinity, alone worthy of ours and their worship. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.